Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. And if I was to put a title on this message, it's touched. Touched. Do you want God to touch you today? Do you want to touch Him today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's so important that God is able to touch us. It's so important that we are able to touch God. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we just thank you this day, Lord, that you are here to touch. Hallelujah. To restore, to redeem, to heal. Hallelujah. To pour out upon us, Lord God, of your blessings. Lord, we ask you right now, let this message find good soil. Hallelujah, that you are able, hallelujah, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Right now, Lord God, let your presence and anointing break every yoke. Touch those who are in sickness right now, those who have a need. Lord, we ask you to touch them, to bring them out. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want to be touched. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. I just feel a presence of God here today. I feel that He has touched us. Amen. Touch is the most intimate of our senses. You know, we first see, then sometimes we hear, but touch is reserved for people who we're close with. Touch is the path to intimacy. You don't just go and touch someone who you don't know. We're careful, in fact, not to touch other people we don't know. We usually only really reach out to touch people we really know very well. When we are first introduced to someone, it's the act of touching is the custom, by shaking hands to start a friendship, a boundary. Touch is so important that without it, we can't really effectually operate as people, really. They found that if babies are denied touch, they grow up very psychologically deformed. You know, under the law, the high priest could not be touched by just anybody. Under the law, he could not touch any relative that had died. He was not allowed to show emotion because of his office. In fact, in Leviticus 21 and verse 10, it outlines under the law what the high priest was allowed to do. And it said, and he that is high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, and that is consecrated to put on the garments, shall not uncover his head, nor rend his clothes. He was not to tear up his clothes as a sign of mourning. Neither shall he go to any dead body, nor defile himself by his father or his mother. Even if it's his parents died, he wasn't allowed to touch them. Neither shall he go out of the sanctuary. He had to separate himself. The opposite of touch is to separate yourself, nor profane the sanctuary of his God, for the crown of anointing oil of his God was upon him. I am the Lord. Under the law, he had to stay away from people. You could not just go up to the high priest and touch him. He probably had Levites all around him to stop that from happening. So people could not just go up and touch the high priest. Under the law, he stayed close to the sanctuary. He wasn't able to go amongst the people. Maybe there were people who had never met him. Just as how most of us have probably maybe have glanced the president through a glass, but most of us, I'm sure, have never met him. We were not able to touch. You try and run up on the president and touch him, something bad is about to happen to you. But yet we were created to be touched and to touch. Scientists have found that there is a certain nerve in the body that responds to gentle touch. And most of us crave that touch. When we see someone in sorrow or crying, what's our first impulse? It's to go up and touch them. It's the fact that touch comforts. You see, words communicate to the mind, but touch communicates to the flesh. See, as human beings, we need both. We need to be able to be touched. We need to be able to touch others. And that's why babies like to be held. You know, a baby, the one thing that will quiet a baby is when you do what? When you pick them up and you lay them on your shoulder or your breast and you start to touch them and stroke them. Why is it that we have that need to be touched? It's built into the human nature. As I said, humans, children raised without touch usually end up being very deformed psychologically. In fact, as I said, when someone is experiencing grief, the impulse, our urge is to go up just to hug them for some reason, as if that will do something. And it does. Because we are built, we were designed to be touched. We were designed to touch others. Touch is a feeling of comfort. Touch is a feeling of comfort. We like to hug. Touch is the primary beginning of intimacy between a man and a woman, because touch communicates love. I can say I love you, but when I show it, I want to actually demonstrate I love you, right? That's why people kiss. It's that touch. So without touch, love is not intimately fulfilled. See, the overall image of God in the Old Testament was not one of a God that you could touch. It was not one of a God that showed love. But was that really true? What was the reason why we could not come to God? It's the same reason that we've gone through this 20-month period of separation. You know what? There was something that made it impossible to touch. In this day and age, we call it COVID. Right? They mandated separation. You go into any store now, you see these circles on the floor, and it says 6 feet. We can go to Walgreens, and you see up to the counter, there's little dots, and they're 6 feet around, and they put up all these barriers to touch and to communication. Why? Because something came in between. Something came to separate one of the most basic human needs, which is touch. See, people looked in the Old Testament and they thought God was unfeeling and cold. But he wasn't. It was because there was something that separated mankind. Something that separated us from being able to be touched and to touch God. Let me tell you something today. God wants to touch you. God wants you to touch him. He designed us with that need. He designed us with that aspect of our nature that we just want human companionship. And the flesh responds to that. They found scientifically that when people are touched, the brain releases certain chemicals that reduce stress, that bring well-being. But there was something that separated us from being touched. In the Old Testament, there was a disease, and it's the same today. It's called leprosy. And when someone became leprous, it damaged the nerves in the body so that they couldn't feel. They could not feel being touched. They could not feel when hand was burning. They could not feel when something sharp was penetrating the skin. And leprosy made people end up being disfigured. You know why? Because they lost their sense of touch. Do you understand that there is a spiritual leprosy that can enable us to lose our communication, our sense of touch, and we don't even know that we're starting to damage ourselves because we've lost that ability to be touched and to touch others? You see, leprosy itself did not cause all this damage, but it was the fact that it deadened the nerves and people could no longer feel when they were touched. So most lepers, after many years, ended up totally disfigured, losing hands and fingers and having all kinds of marks all over their skin. You know why? Just because they lost the ability to feel. They lost the ability to be touched. You see, that's what can happen to us. That's what can separate us from God. And that's why we should be very careful that we can be touched, that we have the feeling still that can move us, that can take our heart and make it cry. I have a hard time reading certain scriptures. Can't help it. I don't know why. I was teaching the PI class on Saturday, and it was a Zoom meeting, and I couldn't help it getting choked up as I read certain scriptures. You know, I'm glad that I can choke up when reading scriptures. I'm glad that the Word of God can still touch me, can still move me. I'd be worried if I could hear the Word of God and not be touched. Some people have developed a spiritual leprosy. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that he henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." You see, sometimes we get so caught up in things that we lose what's really important. We miss what really should move us. We miss the things that should really get us in motion. Verse 18 says, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." What he's speaking about is people who have had a spiritual leprosy that is starting to kill their ability to sense God, kill their ability to be moved, kill their ability to respond to the call of the word. He says, "Who being past feeling," verse 19, "who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." There can be a point where in leprosy they've got so far that they can't even feel that their hand is on fire because they've lost the ability to touch. And it happens so slowly. It's not leprosy itself that disfigures, but it is the effects of leprosy that disfigures, because they lose the ability to sense. They lose the ability to have feeling. And it's so sad when that happens, because they end up losing fingers. It's the fact that you can feel pain is the thing that saves us from being hurt. As soon as we feel a flame, we withdraw our hand, or as soon as something starts to pain us, we pay attention, we look at it, and we understand that sense of touch can also be a sense for warning of danger. Amen? Amen? We need to allow God to touch us. We need to allow the Spirit to move us. We need to be able to move God. Amen. Because that defines love. That defines intimacy. That is what demarcates the next level of a relationship, is being able to touch the one you love. Amen? In ancient times, there was no cure for leprosy. You know what they had to do? They did the mandates. They did the COVID mandates. Everybody had to stay away. But nobody wanted to get that disease where you lost the sensation to touch. In fact, they had to ring bells. They had to stay in their own colonies. And people became outcasts just because they lost the sense of touch. But here I want to tell you that there is a Savior. I want to tell you that there is somebody who didn't mind touching somebody who had lost the sense of touch. Jesus Christ, you know what he did? He came and he healed lepers. He touched them. Amen. We need to be able to be touched today and to be moved by the Spirit of God. If you cannot be touched or moved by worship, by the Word, or by His Spirit, you may have spiritual leprosy. And you're in grave danger of losing something spiritual that may not be able to be replaced. See, when that happens to people, when they lose a sense of compassion, see, there's a word in the scientific realm, they call it empathy. And that's defined as the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. And when there are certain people who have gotten that way, you know what happens? They turn into monsters. They can't understand your pain or suffering. They can't understand how hurt you may be. And they don't care. You know why? They're not able to feel. They're not able to empathize. They're not able to sit in your shoes and understand what you're going through. It's that defect that through history has produced some of the greatest monsters. The greatest killers are those who have lost the emotional sense of touch. They don't understand how causing pain feels, because in them it's gone. That sensation has left them. As Paul says, they have become past feeling. A very dangerous situation when you have become past feeling, when you can't understand what someone else is going through. But here, something I want to tell you. The God we serve is able to cure leprosy. He's able to cure that sin disease, leprosy. The God we serve wants to reach out and to touch you. He wants to move you. He wants to show his love for you. In the New Testament, you'll see so many times before Jesus healed somebody. You know, most of the time, he healed somebody. You know how he did it? The Bible said he touched them. he touched them. He reached out and he touched them. There was something physical that brought a healing process. The virtue flowed out of him when the woman touched him. She said, if only I can touch him. Today, I hope you have that desire in your heart. We should all be saying, if only I could touch him. Whatever my problem is, whatever my situation is, God will deliver it. She just had an issue of blood. What is your problem? What is your issue? All the people around him didn't understand. That's all they had to do. The Bible said she said in her heart, if only I can touch him. If only I can reach out and touch him. My issue, her issue was blood. What is your issue? See, the God that we serve did not create us. In fact, in Genesis, he said it's not good for the man or the woman to be alone. But sometimes circumstance forces us to be alone. Sometimes we're in a circumstance where it's not our fault. We are alone. Life has just made us into that situation. How do we function in that situation? Well, what I want to tell you, you're not alone. You're never alone. Amen. In the Bible, we see the character of Elijah. And he felt he was so alone. He had preached to all of the of Israel, and nobody seemed to be repenting. All that was going on was wickedness and evil. And he got so frustrated after he had done so many great miracles. He said, I give up. Lord, just kill me. Just take me now. He felt so alone. He thought he was the only one serving God. There's going to be times in your life. There are seasons. There are seasons. The Bible tells us there's a time to die, a time to be born, time to laugh. So there's going to be seasons in your life. And there may be a season where you feel alone, where you can't just reach out and touch someone. There's no one to comfort you. There's no one to lift you up. But let me tell you something. We have a high priest. We have a high priest. Not like in the Old Testament, who couldn't even come near people. We have a high priest who in the Old Testament could not even show grief. We have a high priest who's not like that. He can be touched. That's what the verse in Hebrews says. We have a high priest who can be touched. See, let me show you something. Matthew chapter 8, verse 3. See, Jesus understood that nobody wanted to touch someone who was leprous. But you know what? He could have just spoken the word, couldn't he? He did that to the centurion. He did that with raising Lazarus. But most of the time, you know what he did? He did what people didn't want to do. In fact, instead of running away from the leprous person, look at this. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. That's what we need today. We need Jesus to put forth his hand and to touch us. That's what we need today. We need to have him put forth his hand and touch us, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Healing flows when Jesus touches you. Deliverance flows when Jesus touches you. Restoration flows when Jesus touches you. We need to be touched today. See, we have a high priest, the Bible says, who can be touched. We have a high priest who wants you to come to him. The disciples tried to keep all the children away. Jesus said, no, 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 you guys don't have a clue what the kingdom of heaven is like. Allow them to come unto me. You know what he did? He picked them up. I want to be picked up by Jesus. I want him to touch me. I want him to give me a hug. Anyone need a hug by Jesus today? Anyone need a touch by the Creator today? Because when he touches you, it's a loving touch. It'll do more than the endorphins that the scientists have found. It will touch you where those things can't, in your heart, in your soul. Hallelujah. We need to allow Jesus to touch us. We have a high priest who's not like the one in the Old Testament who was sheltered behind curtains and couldn't come out. He had to be so holy that no one could touch him. See, the truth is we need to be touched. Amen. In the Old Testament, they weren't even allowed to come near God. When they came to Mount Sinai, God told them, you put a rope. Let's rope it off. They can't come near because they still have that sin disease. They can't. It was COVID time in the Old Testament. I want you to realize this. This isn't new. In the Old Testament, Moses wore a veil when he came down. People couldn't see his face. They could not touch even Moses. They had to stay away. Why? They had a disease. They had a sin disease. They had a leprosy disease that they were unmoved by all of God's miracles. They saw the 10 miracles in Egypt. They saw the Red Sea being parted, and yet they were still unmoved. They came into the desert and they immediately started complaining. You brought us out here to die. Now, if God had intended them to die, he wouldn't have had to take them in the desert. He just left them in Egypt. If God had intended you to die, he wouldn't have brought you here today. If God had intended you to die, he wouldn't have let you hear a salvation message. If God had intended you to die, he wouldn't have given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Don't be like the children of Israel, starting to doubt. See what happened is, because of their unbelief and doubt, God had to keep them away. Can't let that contaminate my holy mountain. So when they came to Mount Sinai, they had to be roped off. They could only come so close. It was like COVID. People are complaining today, don't be an Israelite in the Old Testament. You could not come close. You could not touch anything that was holy, because you know what would happen? You would die. That's what the scripture says in Hebrews 12:20. Hebrews 12:20 says, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, even Moses was exceedingly afraid because of the holiness and purity of God. But the writer of Hebrews saying, that's not what you have come to today. Oh no, that's not what you're doing here today. You have come to a different mountain. You have come to Mount Zion. And unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. You can't see them, but they're here right now. They may be touching you right now. The Bible says, the song says, I hear the sound of angels' wings. And to Jesus, who is the mediator of a new covenant, not that old covenant, which there was no touching allowed. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Abel's blood cried out for judgment and for revenge, but the blood of Jesus cries out for mercy and grace. As soon as he had finished operating as high priest, after 7 days after he had resurrected, and he appeared to them, you know what the first thing he said to Thomas? Come touch me. I want you to come and see what I paid for your salvation. I want you to come and touch me this time. I'm not going to touch you, Thomas, but I want you to come and touch me. Put your hand in the hole where they put the spear. God is saying to you unbelievers, come touch me. Come see the hole that I paid for your salvation. Come and see the nails in my hands that I paid for you. You come touch me, then I will touch you. Thomas could only fall at his feet and say, my Lord and my God. We need to be touched. We come to service after service and we're not touched. We come to prayer service, we do fasting, and we're not touched. I tell you one thing, when those Israelites went to Mount Sinai, they may not have been touched, but they were woke up all right. They came in fear and trembling because they saw God come down on the mountain with fire, and there was earthquake and loud noises. And they said, okay, Moses, we get it. You go speak for us. We'll stay back here. We'll let you speak for us. But when Jesus said it is finished and that veil in the temple tore, you know what that meant? It means that we could come boldly to a throne of grace and we can touch and be touched. You know, the proof that God wants us to touch him and for us to touch him, you know what he calls us, the church? His bride. Now, I don't know, most marriages, there's a part in there where there's going to be some touching. There's going to be some intimacy. In fact, it's the culmination. It's the fulfillment of love is to touch. And that's why God calls us his bride. There can't be no more intimate touching than between a man and a woman in a marriage relationship. Do you understand? We need to have that intimacy with God that he sees us in all our glory. He sees us as we really are. And he wants to reveal himself to us as he is. As I said, we may find ourselves in circumstance in the flesh where we don't have a companion, where we do feel alone. But I want you to tell you this, that God even then sent a solution for Elijah. In 1 Kings 19:5, as he lay there under the juniper tree saying, "Lord, just kill me. There's nobody loves me. I'm all alone." You know what God did? God could have just woken him up with a voice, but you know what he did? He sent an angel to do what? Read it. "And as he lay asleep under the juniper tree, behold, then the angel of the Lord did what? Touched him. You know, Elijah got a spiritual hug right there, because how many times has an angel touched you? Every time an angel touches someone, there's some healing. You find that when he touched Daniel, Daniel started to get strength just from the touch. I'm telling you, you may be alone, but you can get a spiritual touch today. You may feel there's no one that loves you, but I'm telling you this. God said, "I love you. Come and touch me. Come and see where I had a hole put in my side for you." If that wasn't enough, he gave him some food, and Elijah fell asleep again. And you know what God did the second time to show Elijah that he wasn't alone? Verse 7. "And the angel Lord came again the second time." And did what? Touched him. That's what I'm trying to tell you. God loves you. He wants to touch you. He wants to move you. He wants you to touch him. Sometimes we think, well, how do I touch God? He's a spirit. He's far away. There's no way I can really touch him. You can touch him, all right. Let me tell you how you can touch him: through faith, through trust, through belief. Jesus, wanting to show how much he loved and how much he cared, he, in a most brotherly sense, he touched his disciples before he went to the cross. You know what he did? The Bible said he riseth from supper. He laid aside his garments and he started to wash. He touched their feet. Now that's an intimate touch. Not too many people want you to touch their feet. But Jesus wanted to show something special about touch, and that how much he cared, that he, the creator of the universe, would get down on his knees before his creation and wash their feet. That's how much God loves you, that he would wash your feet. And the disciples didn't understand. Peter said, what are you doing? He said, "You don't understand what I'm doing, but you will." And he said that that's what we have to do to each other. We have to wash each other's feet. See, washing someone else's feet takes some humility, right? Not everybody's feet is beautiful. Not everybody's feet is beautiful. And it takes intimacy. How can we then get Jesus to touch us? And it's simply this. When you fall in love with someone, guess what the next thing you want to do? You want to touch them. That is the truth, yes. As she says, I'm going to tell the truth. The next thing you want to do is to be able to touch them. All you have to do to get Jesus to touch you is to truly, truly from your heart be in love. David said, "A broken and a contrite heart he will in no way despise." When we're truly in love with God, when we truly want to please him, when we truly want to fulfill his will, he'll touch us. He'll touch us. If you could stand with me, I'm not preaching long. Do you know why God wants to touch us, though? It is to give us love and to reassure us. That's what we do with little babies and children. But he wants to touch us to bless us. He wants to touch us so that we will be used. In Isaiah has a vision. In chapter 6, he says, "In the day that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." And he goes on to say the great sight in heaven. Then he realizes, oh my God, I've seen God, and I'm such an unworthy and sinful creature. I'm going to die. But you know what? God said, "Listen, I called you, Isaiah, because I wanted to touch you. I want to use you." And you know what God did in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 7? "And he laid it upon my mouth." He took a coal from the altar and laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this hath touched." Touch thy lips. You see what God can do? He can touch our lips. He can change our speech. He can change what comes out of us. Because the Bible says it's what comes out of us can defile us. See, God wants to touch you, but not just to touch you. So he can anoint you, that he can empower you, and he can touch your lips. Same thing happened with Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1:9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. You know, that's why we speak in tongues. It's God touching our lips. Because he doesn't just want to touch our heart. He wants his touch to empower us, to take us to another level, that we too, in return, can reach out and touch somebody else. Do you want to be touched today? Jesus is saying to his disciples, especially to Thomas, Thomas, here I am. Thomas has said, listen, I'm not believing this stuff unless I can put my hand, unless I can touch him. Jesus said, have at it. He's saying today, listen, I want you to believe me. Reach out your hand right now and touch me. I will touch you. I will anoint your lips. I will change your life. I will show you that I love you. Because we were designed by God to be touched. That's why the church is called the bride of Christ. We're going to be taken to heaven so he can touch us. We're going to appear in God's throne room. Amen. That's what I'm looking for. Amen. I want to be found pleasing. I want God's power to dwell upon me. I want him to be touching me every day. I want him to be holding me in the palm of his hand. I want him to direct my pathway. I want him to show his love to me. And I tell you what, he has. He has. All I have to do is start thinking about what God has done. When I think about the goodness of Jesus, I don't want to boast, so I'm not going to boast. All I can tell you is God's been good to me. You all need to get your own touch. We need to be touched. As I said, if you look in the New Testament, you'll find that nearly every miracle that God did, he did it by touch. A couple times he did it by the word only, but most of the time it was by touch. It was by touch. God is calling us today to give us this message. If we could put up the scripture that I put up first, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched. Aren't you glad you're not in the Old Testament? In order to understand leprosy, he came and took upon himself the leprosy of sin. So that now, when we are sinful, he understands, he can empathize, he truly understands what you're going through. For we have not an high priest like in the Old Testament, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. When you cry, God understands. But it was in all points tempted, all points tempted, just as we are, yet without sin. You know what prompted this message? It's a silly little thing. Yesterday, we were driving by the Jamaican restaurant. And I don't know why this thought came to me from this incident. And there was this little cat crossing the road. But this little cat was damaged, and it was limping. And I thought about how God must be feeling when he looks at his creation. That he started off in Genesis, so beautiful. And that he looked at it and he called it perfect. And he's looking down right now at all the pain and suffering. That was just one little creature. But then I remembered him saying, Jesus saying, not one sparrow falls to the ground that our Heavenly Father does not know about. And I was just thinking, how does God feel? How is he feeling? I was trying to empathize with God. And that led me to thinking about that he is touched by our feelings. Even though I don't know that cat, God does. The Bible says not one little sparrow that falls to the ground that God doesn't know about it. And I was just thinking the pain that God must be going through when he looks at his creation. But he did that so that he could have a church, a bride that he can touch. And that's what he's calling us today, that we be moved just as he is. That's what the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave. That he came down and he reached out to lepers like me. I might not have natural leprosy, but I had a sin leprosy. And in the spirit world, I was all masked up and I was separated from God. That's what Paul says. He says man was separated from God. This mandate is not nothing new. It's just we haven't seen the spiritual one. This COVID has just brought out what's been happening in the spiritual frame. But you know what? Just like man has a vaccine, God has a vaccine. And the Bible tells us what it is. It says that it's the blood of Abel cried out for judgment, but Jesus' blood cries out for mercy and grace. Let's pray as we close this service that God will touch us. And more than that, that we will reach out in love to God, that we can touch Him. The woman with the issue that was blood, she determined in her heart, she pushed through the crowd. According to the law, she wasn't even supposed to be there. She was illegal for coming out with blood because that defiled someone. She was taking a big risk that if the priest knew that she was on her time or that she was bleeding, they could have arrested her. But she said in her heart, if I only touch him, if I only touch him, if I only touch him, my issue will be done with. I'm telling you, if you can only touch him today, your issue will be done with. Hallelujah. I'm closing this service. Not closing God, though. He never stops. He never closes down. He doesn't have office hours. He's 24/7, 365 days of the year. And whenever you call on him to touch you, in faith believing, I believe that the angel is dispatched right away. Elijah, get up off of your behind and get up now. I'm sending someone to touch you. I'm sending someone to restore you. I'm sending someone to lift you up. Get up, Elijah. Eat some food and have some strength. He did that, and you know what? He fell asleep again. But God, in his mercy, the second time, as you saw, sent the angel to do what? Touch him again. God will touch you again if you will let him. He will reach out to your leprosy where people would be running. And he will say, I still love you. I'm going to touch you. I'm going to cure you. And you can be made clean and whole. That's God's love and his mercy. I am closing this service. We're going to pray. I invite anyone who wants to come to the front and pray. I have no power in myself. But let me tell you this, there's a God who is willing, able, and ready to reach out and touch you and to renew your spiritual skin, renew your heart, make you new. That's what I'm telling you today because he says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I'm going to pray for the congregation, then I'm going to come down and pray for you all at the altar. I'm asking everyone in this sanctuary to pray. Ask God to touch you this week. You know, you never know. You may feel someone touch your shoulder and you turn around, you can't see. Could be the hand of an angel come to touch you, come to respond to you. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your word today that you, hallelujah, can be touched. Lord God, that you told Thomas, even the ones who didn't believe you, come touch me. Come see where I died for you, where I paid with my life for you. That's what he's calling today. Lord, we ask you, Lord God, to touch us. Break up our hearts, oh God, that we are able to be moved by your word and by your worship. Oh God, that we can truly come before your throne, hallelujah, in faith believing. Lord, we just thank you today that you have not taken away the ability for us to touch and be touched. Lord, we ask you right now, Lord, as those who are at the altar and in this sanctuary, Lord, that you touch us, move us, oh God. Help us, oh God, to come to the place, Lord Jesus, where you can have your way with us, Lord, that we are pliable in your hands. We thank you right now. Church, if you could pray with me as I pray for those at the altar.